AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Steel.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. More snow and tornadoes are a big concern tonight as the plains and northeast get pummeled by another massive winter storm. It's the same system that caused widespread damage in Kansas, Texas, and Oklahoma. KWTV's Addie Crawford is in Norman.
This red car upside down with its tires in the air and its hood resting on another car. The house to the right has its roof absolutely torn off with exposed wood and bricks all over the ground. You can see insulation from the house as well.
Meantime, California is recovering from rare snow. KCBS reporter Rick Montanez is near L.A.
You can see visibility is very, very low. There's a lot of fog, some blowing snow, and it's very difficult to see some of these vehicles even just making their way through here.
Some parts of the state got about 5 feet of snow this weekend. Jurors in Alec Murdoch's double murder trial in South Carolina are about to go on a field trip soon to the scene of the crime.
The judge's ruling came after a request from Alec Murdoch's lawyer.
We believe it would be useful for the jury to see, visit Moselle, both the area in the kennels and the house.
Moselle is the family property where Murdoch's wife and son were fatally shot in June of 2021. The disgraced and disbarred attorney testified he did not kill them. Jim Krasula, CBS News.
About 30 million Americans could lose critical food benefits from the government this week as SNAP benefits get slashed. Ellen Vollinger's with the Food Research and Action Center.
It's going to fall on the hungry people themselves, the SNAP participants who are operating on relatively meager benefits anyway. And when this change happens, the average amount that the SNAP participant gets per day will be about $6.
The elderly could be hit the hardest. Put down that fake sugar.
It's what a lot of us use to make that coffee sweet, artificial sweetener. But Dr. Stanley Hazen of the Cleveland Clinic says some of them have an ingredient you should try to avoid.
Erythritol, when provided, was actually enhancing clot formation.
And he says it's leading to heart attack, stroke, and death, even among those with no known heart disease.
If you go natural and you buy things at the produce section and do whole foods, I think that is really the message that I recommend.
CBS's Matt Piper says it's a problem now because it's used too much. Despite new reports this weekend, the White House says we still don't know how COVID started.
There is not a consensus right now in the U.S. government about exactly how COVID started.
That's National Security Spokesman John Kirby. His comments come after the Department of Energy said it believes COVID was caused by a lab leak in China. This is CBS News.
Find tools for the job site or your own backyard at over 10,000 authorized local Steel dealers. Find yours at steelusa.com. STI.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Whoever fired the gun that killed a 12-year-old boy at a teenager's birthday party in West Allis Saturday night is still out there somewhere. Another child was sent to the hospital. There were about 60 people in the room at the time. $10 million is the record for spending on a Wisconsin Supreme Court race. So far, this spring's candidates and outside groups have spent more than $7.3 million. Janet Protasiewicz is getting help from Democrats who say much is at stake.
We really can leave no stone unturned because the stakes for the freedom to control your own body, the freedom to live in a democracy, are so vast.
Ben Wickler is chairman of the Wisconsin Democratic Party. He was on Upfront yesterday. In sports, Mark Lassery has an agreement to sell his share of the Bucks to Cleveland Browns owner Jimmy Haslam for about $3.5 billion. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Extra Sharp Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. Enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn block. Extra Sharp Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media Station or on the app.
Ty Christian from Lords of the Trident. Can you say Max Inc. Radio rocks, Jimmy K is awesome in Japanese?
Sure. Let's see. How do I say rocks? Let me see. すごい! Max Inc. Radio はすごいだと思います。I just said you're great, you know.
Thank you. You're great too.
Original local music from Wisconsin. It's Max Inc. Radio on Civic Media. Saturday night, 6 p.m. to midnight. We are local music.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at WAUK Radio. Native Roots Radio is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
E2Go.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Buju relatives. This is Zoe Allen filling in for Robert Pilot tonight. We have a very exciting show lined up for you, but before I get into it, I just want to remind all of our listeners that this portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice. Tonight, we will have special coverage from Robert Pilot on the Warrior Woman event he attended this past weekend, which led up to today, February 27th, 2023, which marks the 50th anniversary of the occupation or liberation of Wounded Knee. Later in the show, we will have sacred animal advocate Wendy Pilot on, but first I'm going to share some Native news, followed by some important updates from our very own Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan. Our first story today is more of an update regarding student loan relief under the Biden administration. On February 28th, the U.S. Supreme Court will hear two legal challenges that were successful in temporarily blocking the Biden-Harris student debt cancellation program. They anticipate a final decision in June. If the program is permanently blocked by the court, student loan payments will resume 60 days after June 30th. Approximately 26 million borrowers applied for debt cancellation in the first month of the program, and 16 million borrowers have been approved. In local news, over the weekend, there have been important updates regarding the Roof Depot demolition in East Phillips, Minneapolis. According to the Defend the Depot Instagram, a court has issued a temporary restraining order against the demolition, which was scheduled to begin today, February 27th. The conditions of this order are that the East Phillips Neighborhood Institute, or EPNI, will try to get the appeal heard as soon as possible. Secondly, that the EPNI only has to pay $10,000 in bond and that they have 2 weeks to raise that bond. And lastly, if the costs to the city get out of hand, the city can ask for a reconsideration of that bond. The bottom line of this is that the demolition has been halted for two more weeks, which is a huge victory for all of our relatives who have been showing up and protesting in order to protect the East Phillips community. If you're able to please donate to this cause, you can follow the Defend the Depot Instagram account. Their handle is at Defend the Depot. If you go onto their page, they also have other ways you can support their mutual aid efforts. I think they have an account set up for getting coffee for elders in the area. And of course, they're also gathering donations to pay that $10,000 bond. But basically, this is a huge, huge victory for our community, as The demolition was scheduled to start today, and any time we can get to push it off further will help our cause. So really appreciate if you can check out the Defend the Depot Instagram page. And now we will be listening to some updates from Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan.
Bonjour, this is Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and I'm joining Native Roots Radio with an update from the Walz Flanagan administration. What a week of Minnesota weather. I hope that all of you are able to stay safe and warm through this winter storm. This is a timely reminder of the importance of safe and stable housing. For those of us who have safe homes, this winter weather can be an inconvenience, but for our relatives experiencing homelessness, it is dangerous and even deadly. Governor Walz and I proposed a bold housing stability package with a total investment of over $1 billion to support our neighbors experiencing homelessness, renters, and first-time homebuyers alike to meet their housing needs. And one of my most favorite parts of this proposal also includes a $44 million allocation that would go directly to tribal nations to support their work to address homelessness in their own communities. Despite the weather, our partners in the legislature have continued to send great legislation to the governor's desk, some of which has been in the making for decades. This week, the Senate passed two critical pieces of legislation, Restore the Vote and Driver's Licenses for All. We are now only one step away from restoring the right to vote to over 55,000 Minnesotans, as this bill, having passed the House and Senate, makes its way to the governor's desk to sign. Voting is one of the most basic building blocks of our democracy. And in the state of Minnesota, we don't just believe in democracy, we aspire towards an inclusive democracy where we support voter participation and work against voter suppression. According to the numbers from the 2018 election, 6% of Black Minnesotans and 9% of Native American Minnesotans were ineligible to vote because of felonies, compared to 1% of white Minnesotans. After folks have served their time, continuing to put up barriers to their involvement in our democracy does not make us stronger. In fact, the right to vote for people who represent us is one of the most important ways to ensure people get and stay connected to their communities after incarceration. I'm thankful for Senator Bobby Joe Champion and Representative Cedric Frazier for leading on this important bill, and we are completely indebted to the advocates who have kept the faith and kept up the fight for years. Another important piece of legislation that passed the Senate this week is driver's licenses for all. Restoring access to driver's licenses for everyone in Minnesota is long overdue. It has been years in the making. This is about safety and security for families and for all Minnesotans. Parents should be able to safely drive their kids to school. Workers should be able to drive safely to their jobs. And everyone driving on our roads should have access to the necessary training and licensure needed to drive safely. This means that anyone can access the training and licensure regardless of their immigration status. With more people having the ability to safely transport themselves and their families, and with fewer unlicensed and untrained drivers on the road, we are all made that much safer. Everyone deserves to fully participate in their communities without barriers and without fear. Both of these bills are about restoring the rights of our neighbors and our friends, our relatives, community members, and they're also about keeping our community safer and more connected. Even through a snowstorm, our legislature continues to show an incredibly productive session. I'll keep updating the Native Roots Radio audience as we continue to make investments in improving the lives of all Minnesotans. It's good work. Chimi Gritch, Pina Gigi. And back to you.
Chimi Gwich to Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan for giving us those really important updates. You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Zoe Allen. I'm filling in for Robert Pilot today. Coming up next, we'll be hearing from Robert, actually. He's not in the studio today, but he's on the road. All the way in Porcupine, South Dakota, about a 9-hour drive from Minneapolis. He's heading back. Sounds like he's had a really great time hearing from former Aimsters, Wounded Knee people, and of course, many of our matriarchs, including Madonna Thunderhawk. So we're really excited to hear from Robert in the next segment. And this is Native Roots Radio. Stay tuned.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hi, I'm Scott Chambaud from Chambaud Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, shame-free dental office. If you're having a dental emergency, we'll try and get you in the same day you call because we don't like to see anyone in pain. And we'll help you get through every appointment in the most pain-free way possible. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get.
Chambaud Family Dentistry in Hopkins and St. Paul. Find them online at ChambaudFamilyDentistry.com or call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Bonjour, relatives. You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Zoe Allen filling in for Robert Pilot today. So we're actually going to hear from Robert any minute here. He should be calling in from the road. He was just attending the Warrior Woman event this weekend in Porcupine, South Dakota, which was commemorating the 50th anniversary of the occupation or liberation of Wounded Knee. And before we get into that, I just wanted to remind you all that this portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition. So hopefully we can get Robert on soon. I know service has been a little bit of spotty for him, just because it's South Dakota, and as flat as it is, you can't always get the best cell service. But I was looking on the Facebook of the event. It seems like there's been great attendance. Lots of people went. I know that they were doing some oral histories for folks that attended, and they were actually able to record people right there at the event to make sure that they were gathering people's stories, because, you know, our stories are really important, and not having them documented is really difficult for our community. So it's really wonderful that the Warrior Woman Collaborative has been able to bring those resources into the community. And oh, awesome, it seems like Robert is ready to come on. So I don't know if we can hear him. Alrighty, any minute now. But yeah, so Warrior Woman, the collaborative, really important project. They made a movie commemorating the women of AIM because, you know, their stories aren't heard as much.
I'm here, Zoe, if you can hear me.
You can hear me? Okay, great. I was just like, I can't hear you. Okay, great. Lovely.
You know, what is my coffee cup says, you're on mute, and that's what was happening. I was talking to the Badlands here. I'm pulled over here in South Dakota. I'm looking over the Badlands and listening to a great job that you do and are doing. And the future of Native Roots Radio looks great with you and Ogama doing such great work. So thank you for stepping in a good way. And I'm really excited to talk about American Indian Movement and Wounded Knee's 50th anniversary of the occupation. So, yeah. I don't know, you saw some pictures that I had, Zoe, and one of the things that I just want to maybe run through what I've done and then maybe talk about our third segment where I have some warriors that were young people that heard the call of Wounded Knee and showed up from all over the country, and it was really interesting. So let me get going with that right now. We got in, it's a roughly a 9-10 hour drive to where we had to go to celebrate Feely's radio station's 40th anniversary. And Zoe, I don't know if you know this because you're a young one, but that was the first Native-owned run station in the nation. And, wow. You know, the American Indian Movement made that happen. And it's been 40 years. And a lot of good things, you know, I think about Wounded Knee, a lot of good things happened at a relatively quick time after the occupation in 1973. And one of them was, you know, of course, we could the Religious Freedom Act in 1978, we could do our own religion our own way. And I always talk about the irony of that, Zoe, is that, you know, this country was supposed to be based on freedom of religion.
Yeah, right. So, funny story, right?
Good one. Yeah, right. Hey, so I went to that, and Bill Means, whose brother was Russell Means, and who is one of the founders of American Indian Movement, and he was young during the occupation, but he was there, and he runs. He's a I don't want to say he runs, but he's like the chairman of the board. So AIM still has, you know, relationship with this great radio station. And it was fun. Wherever we were going this weekend, people had the station on. You could hear the radios. And I think soon Native Roots Radio will be on either the Best Of or Daily Shows soon on Keeley Radio here in South Dakota. But it's just right. I'm looking over the Badlands and thinking about the weekend. And I know you were mentioning when I was having problems with my phone here about the Warrior Women project on Saturday. And what was amazing is the people that showed up for the 50th anniversary. Now, there were some that couldn't come because of the weather, but there were people, Zoe, their lawyers came that helped them afterwards. And it was amazing to see, you know, excuse me, but these older people show up there, but they were law students and just getting out of law school in 1973. And these guys were, they helped the American Indian Movement so much. And they really, it was a life changing, a lot of these people, it was life changing, kind of like Standing Rock was for me. And I know a lot of people, but Wounded Knee changed a lot of people's life. And we know there's through the Warrior Women Project, because as you know, and we try to amplify this all the time on Native Roots Radio, is that the woman led the way. It might have been, you know, the press might have fell in love with Russell and Dennis, but the women were the backbone and running things in the background, and they weren't getting the press. And I think that's why the Warrior Women Project specifically is so good to remind people during that era and during right now and for forever that our women have run and led us, and we as men are supposed to back up our women and support them in everything. So just to let everybody know, especially our white allies out there, Zoe, that that's the way things are meant to be in Indian country.
Yeah, completely. Matriarchs are incredibly important, and, you know, huge part of colonialism was making sure that our whole system, our government system, our societies were just flipped completely upside down and backwards so that we couldn't remember or couldn't access those important teachings that, you know, our women come first, our women and our children come first, and our men follow. So that's really incredible. So was, were you able to hear from like Madonna Thunderhawk? Like, who was there? Who were some of the speakers? What was kind of the setup of the event?
Well, that's a great question. And I'll probably get into it more in the coming days, but just let me give you a quick synopsis. So they showed a clip of a 14-minute clip of the Warrior Women. And again, the lawyers showed up, which I think... eight out of the nine were women. Madonna Thunderhawk, I got to tell you this quick story. So I stayed with Warrior Women when we got in there, but they were at a bunkhouse. And you know what that means, Zoe? That they're bunk beds.
No.
And so I was on the top bunk bed. And, you know, being old and have to go potty and, you know, getting cramps and things like that, it wasn't conducive for me to be up there. So we went to the casino hotel after that, but I got to hang out with Madonna, and it's always good good medicine to be with her daughter, her sister, and Beth, and all those people working in the Warrior Woman Project. There was a lot of good medicine. I saw Ruth Buffalo this weekend. I saw Red Dawn Foster. We got a selfie in there, and just good medicine to see all these people supporting you know, supporting what AIM did and does. Mm-hmm. And especially, you know, I always tell the story, Zoe, that, you know, my uncle talks about this, is that everyone was ashamed to be Indian until the American Indian Movement came about, especially as our urban Indians. And they really helped us speak up and do things. And you could see that what I got from this weekend, Zoe, was kind of what they talk about, the greatest generation. I saw people that were normal people that did extraordinary things and still are doing to this day. And with not the fanfare of the news, as you probably will hear in that Roland will do the next segment, there's people that are still doing things for their community, which they should be, but it all started at Wounded Knee. And they brought it back to their communities, because not everyone was from South Dakota. They were from all over the world. And I ran into people that were from California that heard the call and came here because things were getting hairy. And some people were there the whole 73 days, other people 39 days, 70 days. But it was great to see ordinary people that did extraordinary things.
Yeah, really. And highlighting those stories, right? Like, I think that's such a beautiful thing in the Warrior Woman film. If you haven't had the chance to watch that, I'd really, really support that idea to all of our listeners out there. Check it out. Also, it's free today. I believe this is the last day. It's free on their website. You can just check out warriorwoman.com and it should come up. But I think we're going to have to take a little break, Robert, and we'll just come right back to this after a couple messages from our supporters. But stay with us. This is Native Roots Radio. This is Zoe Allen and Robert Pilot. We'll be right back after the break.
Thank you. WAUK 540 AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. People are cleaning up from multiple tornadoes in Oklahoma. Norman Police Chief Kevin Foster.
We ask that the public stay aware of the dangers of downed power lines and tree limbs in the roadway and to notify us of any dangerous situations they believe have not been yet identified.
Tornadoes also hit several states in the plains today. Jurors will get to see where Alec Murdoch's wife and son were killed soon. Defense attorney Dick Harpootlian.
We believe it would be useful for the jury to see visit Moselle, both the area in the area of the kennels and the house, just to get some understanding of spatial relationships.
Millions of low-income Americans stand to lose pandemic-era food benefits this week, including Jacqueline Benitez. She's a teacher in California.
I don't make a lot. I'm a preschool teacher. It's really difficult to try to, like, afford food, so SNAP has helped me so much in that way.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Nat Nair. Here's what you need to know. After a quiet weekend of weather across the state, another winter storm is bringing rain, ice, and snow. Central and southeastern Wisconsin could see as much as 1.5 inches of rain over the course of the day, and with much of the ground still frozen, that makes it tougher for rain to seep into the ground or find storm drains. This could cause minor flooding in some areas, as well as water backing up into basements. Lower temperatures across the central part of Wisconsin could cause freezing rain that might impact travel and cause power outages. The northern counties with the potential to see 2 to 6 inches of snow and some ice during today's storm. A 56-year-old Pewaukee man who died recently while hiking in Grand Canyon National Park was a retired Waukesha County Sheriff's Deputy. Scott McDonald was found unresponsive along a trail on February 17th. He was pronounced dead by National Park Service search and rescue personnel. I'm Jane Matt Mayer. This is Civic Media News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
The bakers of Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads are proud to support local education with Loaves for Learning, the program that makes it easy to earn money for your school. Enjoy Country Hearth and Village Hearth all-natural breads, buns, bagels, and more, then save the UPC from the package for your school to collect and redeem. Each is worth 5 cents and can be used for books, computers, sports, music, whatever your school needs, up to $10,000 a year. Learn more at loavesforlearning.com. Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
Max Inc. Radio, we are local music with Pete from the Skin Tones.
Here, you have been warned. Not only Madison, the rest of Wisconsin and the U.S., Skin Tones, we're coming at you. We're going to be committing rock atrocities. We're fit. We're in shape. We are tight. We are muscular. We are attractive for our ages. And we are sexy as hell.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Bonjour, relatives. This is Zoe Allen filling in for Robert Pilot today as he is on the road coming back from Porcupine, South Dakota, from an event marking the 50th anniversary of the occupation or liberation of Wounded Knee. And so we got Robert on the line here. But right before we jump into our conversation, I just want to say that this portion of the show is brought to you by the Native American Community Development Institute. All right, Robert, are you here?
Hey, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Awesome. I'm still looking at this beautiful Badlands, all these hills and mountains and sediment. It just makes you feel in a really good way, this beauty out here. I just want to jump in real quick and amplify what you said about the Warrior Women Project and the women that led it. It was a beautiful day on Saturday doing that. And then today we ended with the march in four directions. People walked 7 miles to the gravesite of Wounded Knee and with song and dance and prayers. And it was a beautiful thing to witness. I went up there and put tobacco out on a few graves up there and had my own ceremony before people came. But it's a beautiful place to be, and our ancestors are there, and they are there, and they'll always be there. And then I got to tell you, too, Zoe, I went and saw this other movie called I was a little skeptical about it. It was done by a reporter that was in Wounded Knee. And he basically did a great job. He told his story. He was bunking with Anna May. He knew Anna May really well. He knew all these people, and he was really accepted by the people of Wounded Knee. So he did a documentary and had brought in a bunch of people in and interviewed him, and he told his story. And I got to tell you this real quick before we go into this clip, is that he was running they marked it off where they wouldn't let food come into Wounded Knee, and they were trying to starve them out. And some people airdropped this food into Wounded Knee's compound. And as soon as they went to get the food, the helicopters were zooming in there and starting to shoot at the people that were trying to get the food, and this reporter, young reporter who did the documentary, said there was somebody running behind him, and he asked him what size shoes he wore, because he thought he was going to get killed and end up with the shoes. So it was one of the funny points of this documentary, and it was really done well. From Wounded Knee to Standing Rock is what it's called. And what I want to do, Zoe, here is I have three gentlemen that did a Q&A, and they just kind of told what their calling was and why they showed up to Standing Rock. And so maybe we can end my segment here, and I'll take off with this rolling of these three people, and they'll introduce themselves. And I just I thought it was very interesting, and then and let's play that. And then I will see you Monday in Pinigigi for all the great work you're doing, and thank you, and let's listen to the clip.
All right, Miigwech, Robert. Now we'll listen to the clip here of the interview.
Talk about how you got in and how you got there, but could you guys tell you what was like the driving motivation for you? Just what made you see, like, this is the moment I'm going out there, because...
Yeah. Go ahead, Richard. Okay.
Can you guys state your name again, dude?
Richard Gary Whitman. Well, for me, I was, I'd gone to Indian school in New Mexico with some students, and they were from Pine Ridge, and they were from the Minneapolis area. And we were, we only seen Alcatraz and something on the news, And then I went to school with students also who talked about the fishing rights in Washington. So we wanted something, and it was still an Indian boarding school in a way, but it was the Institute of American Indian Arts. Here was a new school to use your culture to create from, and but still it was limited. So, I had a lot of anger, I had a lot of pain. I wanted to push back some way, and so when they came back, the fellow students go home for Christmas or Thanksgiving in Minneapolis. Oh, yeah, it's a new organization, 68, talking about AIM. So they brought some testimonies from there, and I had encouraged us. And so when that happened, When the knee happened, I was ready. I mean, I'm ready. Something, anything. And as soon as I arrived at Wounded Knee, then I ran into my old school buddies, Danny Longsoldier, Pine Ridge, and Eddie Tucro. I went with him to Wounded Knee. And so I figured I knew I was on their res, their culture, their language. They knew the politics. So I hung with them and changed my life, gave me direction, you know, gave me, as Tiger says, we look back at Oklahoma, at our own home turf. Maybe we can do something, you know? And I think that was, I had a question a while back about what advice would I give the young people? You know, you can do something, you know? Individually or organize or share with each other, support each other. And so, you know, that was 50 years ago, you know, and that was my time of the Lakota people took us in and shared. And all those people there, like I see that Gladys Bissonette, you know, Lou B and Moose Camp, Ellen Moose Camp, and old man Tom, just all those people, you know, they took care of us. Gladys Bissonette, you know, became our mother down at the White Church. She always saved food for some of the bunker guys and coffee and oatmeal. Well, I don't know if I answered your question.
Oh, that's good. About you guys, what was it that actually just got in your heart to get you up, to get you out there?
Well, I'm Willard Carlson, by the way, and the sport record. There was a lot of things happening against Native people that I was aware of, you know. Maybe not everywhere, but even in our part of the country, the police and was very heavy-handed, you know. Murders, taking a Native up to the third floor to jail in Humboldt County. You know, stop the elevators and put the boots to them, and people get murdered. So it was happening in the country, and I think after I didn't make it to Alcatraz, but my mother did, and a few others people, and so that really stirred my interest. So it was kind of like a lot of things were like brewing. You know, building up, and I think too that, like Kevin was saying, AIM was the thunderbolt that started awareness to what are the things in the Indian country. And what I found out was when I came to this land here, was it wasn't just about the one tribe; it was a bunch of us. We didn't ask for tribal IDs and different things, identification. Hey, you're a brother, we were brothers. We were partners. And then, so I had to be part of it. I wasn't, I mean, like, quite a few, it took me a long time to really think about it. Some people were the peacekeepers, holy people. Some worked in wherever their position is, dance leaders, ceremony leaders. Well, some were warriors, and some were different types of warriors. Like when we went and left Porcupine and finally got a guide to go in, there was two holy men that were Iroquois, and they didn't go ahead and handle weapons and things like that. But there was four of us, or eight all together, but four went to Rosebud, took the vehicles, and four of us went in with Iroquois and a young man, his last name from Porcupine, his name was Horse. He was like 17 years old. So his family really welcomed us and thanked us for, you know, they, Californians ain't, we're not on surfboards in L.A. You know? Hey, you know, we were warriors. You know, we had to fight too. You know, we just had smaller drives, but the Californians were damn near annihilated the whole state. So it was like Richard says, you know, wanted to get something back, and you had just, it wasn't really what I would call, oh, I was meaning to go kill somebody. I was just ready to defend the rights of people and their beliefs and what they were fighting for. That was me. And I was always for the underdog or person that got bullied, protecting. I see in this high school I went to, and finally I transferred over to Hoopah High, which is the neighboring reservation where there was more Indian people. And I felt that easier. I didn't like the other schools. And it was pretty bad. It was very bad. The teachers, war hoops, trying to make you wear, you know, you think, well, I'm gonna wear a long sleeve shirt, because they were, you know, wanting me to do some square dance, and I refused, because they were trying to do the war hoop, make me square dance same time. I just felt it was wrong. And I got reprimanded, so heck, I had to find my own way, and that was the way for me. I'm here.
Oh.
Hey, Richard. I saw your daughter in the lobby, and I always know.
Alrighty, I think we're going to take a short break, and then when we come back, we'll hear from Wendy Pilot, sacred animal advocate. This is Native Roots Radio, and this is Zoe Allen filling in for Robert Pilot today.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Boost your immunity and help protect your community. COVID-19 is still here, but it's not too late to get your booster. Staying up to date with vaccines can help build protection that has decreased since your last shot and provide better protection against newer variants. Boosters are an important part of protecting yourself from getting seriously ill from COVID-19. To learn more and schedule your appointment, visit ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine. ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine.
This is Winona Duke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is sponsored by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh.
Hey, it's sacred animal time, and I want to invite and introduce my beautiful wife, Wendy Pilot. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many years, and we discussed for, you know, the last 6 years about our sacred animals, and I've learned so much over the years, Wendy. So again, thanks for everything, and welcome back.
Yes, thanks, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. It's always a pleasure to do that. And today, we are going to have a fun fact day.
Just like the old Fun Fact Fridays.
But yeah, if I can't make it on a Friday, we have to make up for it, right?
Right on. Thanks.
Yeah, I just feel like sometimes there's so much doom and gloom in the animal world, and we do talk about a lot of serious subjects on the show about animals, and sometimes it's just a fun day to like kick back and just talk about fun things and just laugh a little bit. So I have this site, and it has it's the fact site, that's what it's called, and I have over 300 facts about animals.
Don't tell people that. They'll start their own radio show.
But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start from number 300 and go up, because I never get that far, right? If I start from number one, we never get to 300, we're going to start from 300 first. But so we're just going to go through these and like laugh a little and talk about these. The lifespan of a bush baby is 14 years.
What's a bush baby?
Okay, a bush baby is that kind of like a little monkey looking animal with the really, really, really big eyes and little and ears. So, Robert, that's a bush baby.
Oh, wow.
You could look it up. They're very, very cute.
Some big eyes.
They do.
Some alien.
This is a fact that I really, really love.
Where are they from?
The Galapagos Islands and other places.
Okay.
Yeah. Millions of trees are accidentally planted by squirrels that bury their nuts and they forget where they hid them. So go squirrels. They're planting trees. We need them for our oxygen, right?
Johnny Apple squirrel.
I see them too. And you know what? They're really, I have to say, they're not so smart.
Stuff.
They're burying the nuts in the snow too. Yeah.
Well, that might work, you know, once it thaws.
I know.
Or they'll find it and have a tasty snack and never.
Mm-hmm.
What's the percentage that they find?
I think it's like 50%.
Yeah, it was something like that. It's crazy.
I know. The slowest fish is the seahorse, which moves at about 0.01 miles per hour.
They're both female and male, aren't they, seahorses? Didn't you have a fun fact one time about
that?
I can't remember.
The fun fact about seahorses is that the male is the one who gets pregnant and gives birth.
Well, that wouldn't go well in our society.
Yeah.
Because I'm a delicate flower.
Exactly. Yeah. You are. The Big Five is a group of animals of Africa. The Cape buffalo, elephant, leopard, lion, and rhino. So sometimes you'll hear about the Big Five. So that's what that is. Some lions mate over 50 times a day. That's disgusting.
Lions?
Lions, yes.
Wow.
A rooster is simply a male chicken.
Yeah.
Some of these I'm going to...
that's a good one.
Some of these I'm going to have to skip over because they're not appropriate. Jellyfish evaporate in the sun because they're 98% water.
It's too late for that. Wendy, the lion's a sex addict.
I know. It's terrible.
Okay.
Before they're even born, sand tiger sharks eat their twin brothers and sisters. But I wonder who gets who.
Wow.
Yeah, I guess they do. Did you know that there are no ants in Iceland, Greenland, and Antarctica?
Even in Antarctica, because it sounds like Antarctica? No? Is that why you said that? Okay.
This one I'm going to skip. You can't hear this one.
Oh.
Dolphins can eat up to 30 pounds of fish a day.
Wow.
Yeah. So we need to stop fishing all these fish in the ocean so that the whales and the dolphins can have it. Yeah, there's whales like in the Pacific Northwest who are like hungry because there's not enough food for them.
Right. Thanks, China.
Exactly. Hummingbirds are the only birds who could fly backwards. I remember saying that once.
Yeah, you must have got down to 300 at one time.
Well, I think I've just found that on a different site and have this is our cat, Lucy. She's here for the sacred animal section, as always. There is no record of a human being attacked by a healthy wolf. So it would be only a wolf who's like really in distress or very sick who would, you know, maybe feel threatened, who would do that.
Hmm.
African elephants have bigger ears than Indian elephants.
So they should. The better to hear you.
Exactly. The swan has over 25,000 feathers on its body.
Wow.
Yeah. A moose have very poor vision. Some have even tried to mate with cars.
Okay, that was one of those inappropriate ones you should.
No, the other one was very inappropriate. A giraffe has the same number of bones in its neck as a man. That's a lot of bones. I think the average, I think a human being has like 206 bones. Or
not in
two.
Our neck.
Not in our neck, in our whole body.
Right.
Yeah.
But we have the same amount in each neck.
What? A giraffe has the same number of bones in its neck as a man. Look up how many bones a human man has. Frogs cannot swallow without blinking.
Wow.
This is gross, but hyenas regularly eat the feces of other animals. That's kind of gross, but I guess it keeps the area cleaned up, right?
Yes.
A full-grown bear can run as fast as a horse. That's why you just never, I don't know if you encounter a bear. That's like one of my fears if I go into the wild. Like, not that I go into the wild, but that's what I would fear. Remember we were going to rent that little cabin in the woods?
Danielle's?
Yeah. And then she told us, like, to bring bells and whistles with us, like, to make noise when you're walking.
Is that why we didn't camp out there? I was wondering about that.
I was afraid of the bears.
They had eagles there, too.
There is no visual difference between male and female herons. Huh. Isn't that like a bird, a heron? It's kind of like a crane, right? It looks like a crane, yeah. Mm. Mm. Tiger Day is the last Sunday in September.
Good to know.
Scientists had to go 45 million years back in history to find the elephant's oldest ancestor.
Say that again.
Scientists had to go 45 million years back into history to find the elephant's oldest ancestor.
Oh,
it's probably like one of those dinosaurs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So they're prehistoric is what they're saying.
Yeah.
Like alligators or or lizards or turtles or something like that look prehistoric.
Yeah. Right. All dolphins have different whistles.
We don't whistle in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
You know that, right? Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Here you go. Listen to this one. You are more likely to be killed by a champagne cork than by a poisonous spider. So you really shouldn't be afraid of poisonous spiders because that seems really rare.
Wow.
Yeah. Heron's eggs. We were just talking about the heron.
Yeah.
Eggs have a greenish blue pale color. When a giraffe ages, their fur darkens.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Exactly.
Because mine lightens. I got a white beard now.
Yeah, your top of your hair isn't turned light, but it's thinning. But anyway.
Wow.
Female harpist seals get in groups to have their babies once mating season is over.
Wow. Okay.
Civic Media promised you something big to celebrate our new and still growing network of radio stations. When we announced the one-day $1 million advertising giveaway for Wisconsin businesses, you responded.
Just wanted to echo your sentiments about the advertising. That's really a cool deal and really remarkable.
$1 million of free advertising. Now, if you missed this chance to work with our team, go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. One of our local sales pros will get right back to you. Civicmedia.us and sponsorship.
the devil's advocates.
Mitch McConnell did make a public statement, right? After he voted to acquit,
oh, nothing says the president can't be prosecuted.
Set the example for your caucus.
Convince your caucus as to why the man is not fit to serve. How do you not use your leadership? Say, you guys, this is crazy. We can't do this, and here is exactly why. Because now of the two major political parties, one of them is under the thumb of a fascist insurrectionist.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.